One of the challenges of not reading Scripture in its original language or cultural context is that you miss out on some of the passage's most important features. And this morning's psalm is a great example of that. For you see, the 10 chapters that come just before this morning's reading, Psalm chapters 15 through 24, form something that in literary circles is called a chiastic pattern. That pattern took its name from the 22nd letter of the Greek alphabet, chi, and it looks a lot like our modern version of the letter X. A chiastic pattern, then, is when a group of sentences or paragraphs are put together in a way that points us in a specific direction, to the proverbial X that marks the spot, if you will. So the authors of Psalms use those 10 chapters prior to this morning's reading to lift a central question for us. Who belongs to God? And the psalm you're about to hear answers that question. And it says, those who offer themselves to God and those who attend to God's teaching. So, listen carefully to these words and see what their wisdom might offer us today in these troubled times. Psalm chapter 25, verses 1 through 10, as read from the Common English Bible. I offer my life to you, Lord, my God, I trust you. Please don't let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies rejoice over me. For that matter, don't let anyone who hopes in you be put to shame. Instead, let those who are treacherous without excuse be put to shame. Make your ways known to me, Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach it to me, because you are the God who saves me. I put my hope in you all day long. Lord, remember your compassion and faithful love. They are forever. But don't remember the sins of my youth or my wrongdoing. Remember me only according to your faithful love for the sake of your goodness, Lord. The Lord is good and does the right thing. He teaches sinners which way they should go. God guides the weak to justice, teaching them his way. All the Lord's paths are loving and faithful for those who keep his covenant and laws. Thus ends the reading. For much of my life, I failed to appreciate the Psalms. I failed to appreciate them because I didn't have one poetic bone in my body. I'm the ultimate literalist. I relate mostly to narratives, to things that unfold in sequence, and to things that either tell a story or build a case. The Psalms never really seemed to do that much, or at least not in the way I preferred, so for years I would often skip over them. But the older I get, and the longer I serve as a pastor, I found the more I fall in love with them. And let me tell you why I say that. You see, the Psalms have a remarkable ability to express the thoughts or the feelings that virtually all of us have felt at one moment in our lives or another. Feelings like disgust, rage, anger, despair, and fear. And by putting those feelings out there in the open, in the context of Scripture, the book of Psalms tells us that it's okay and understandable to feel those things. Boy, the opening words of this week's psalm were so helpful to many of us who were struggling to come to terms with the tragic shootings in Parkland, Florida this past week. An event that once again touched a nerve and contentious issues that have polarized this country like few other issues. It didn't matter whether we were an advocate for stricter gun control regulations or whether we were strong proponents of Second Amendment rights. As we watched those images coming out of Florida, there was a piece of our souls that cried out words much like the psalmist's. Don't let my enemies rejoice over me. Let those who are treacherous be put to shame. Those words from the early part of the psalm do a masterful job of capturing our feelings at a time of crisis. But here's the thing I love most about the Psalms. While they acknowledge and honor what we are feeling at any given moment, they never give us permission to stay there permanently. Now, once we've got the angst out of our system, the words from the Psalms call us to go to a different place, one where God resides. That seismic shift in the reading takes place today in verses 4 and 5, where after getting out his angst, the psalmist then cries out, "Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me into truth, because you are the God who saves me." Those are powerful words, my friend. For in our moments of deepest pain, moments when all we want to do is lash out and inflict our pain on those we call our enemies, the psalmist captures a humility that is, well, quite frankly, shocking. Admitting that he and even we don't have all the answers, and that our ultimate source of deliverance is not us, but God. I thought a lot about that message in a week when I felt as if my heart had been ripped out, and I wondered where I might look for guidance in applying that principle. And in this African American History Month, I found an answer for what that approach might look like in terms of mining the wisdom of this morning's psalm. One where we acknowledge our pain head on and give voice to it, and then step back and create room for God's transformative ways to take root. And that example didn't come from the distant past. No, not from the abolition movement of the 18th and 19th centuries. Nor did it even come from the civil rights movement of the 20th century. Now, the example that came to me was drawn from just 5 years ago. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Many of us might remember a February night back in 2012 when a 17-year-old African-American youth was in a hurry to get back to his fiancée's home. So he took a shortcut. A neighborhood watch volunteer saw the youth taking the shortcut, thought he looked suspicious, and confronted him. And a few moments into the confrontation, sadly, a gun was fired. And at the end of the encounter, Trayvon Martin lay dead. Just over 7 weeks later, charges were finally filed against George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer. And 15 months later or so, a verdict was rendered, one that declared George Zimmerman not guilty. While the decision was painful for many in the African American community, it was devastating. For it served as one more example of the life of an African American man that had ended senselessly. In that moment, millions of Americans felt like you and I did last Wednesday, like the psalmist did in verses 1 through 3 of this morning's reading. Words like enemy and treacherous were on the lips and in the hearts of many. Well, it was at just such a moment when three young African American women, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi, posted a simple phrase on Twitter that read, hashtag Black Lives Matter. Those three words were a way of capturing the pain they felt in the loss and the hope they had for a tomorrow where such senseless losses might be put to an end forever. And then those three women stepped back and watched to see what would unfold. And what happened was that their three words helped galvanize a movement that spoke truth to the powers that be across this country. When Eric Garner lost his life in New York City in 2014, and Michael Brown lost his life in Ferguson, Missouri just 5 months later, no longer did individuals have to simply shrug their shoulders and say, "Ah, that's too bad," for for a network had been born just a year earlier that provided them the ability to say loudly and clearly, "This is unacceptable." And in the days leading up to the election cycles in both 2015 and 2016, that same movement that the women helped give birth to made known candidates' positions on a variety of matters pertaining to racial justice. And by the end of 2016, over 30 local chapters of their movement had sprung up around the country in an attempt to hold local officials accountable and to be a witness for matters of racial justice everywhere. All of those things happened because three faithful women found a way to channel their grief and their rage. And then they had the wisdom to step back and to trust the Holy so that things could unfold as they did. Which leads me back to this week's painful events in Parkland, Florida. Friends, there's no way around it. No way to avoid realizing that you and I are at a pivotal time. And as we live together through the pain, the violence, and the uncertainty that has seized our country, we have a couple choices about how we can deal with it. First, we can shrug our shoulders after the eighth school shooting of this new year and simply wait for the next. Second, we can get lost in our pain or even use that pain to lash out at those we perceive to be what the psalmist called our enemies or the treacherous. To take what I call the Psalm 25, 1-3 approach. Or we can make a different choice. One where we respond to our pain and fear in ways that we feel called to by God. Like Stacy, who will be working in coming days with a group called the San Fernando Valley Moms Demanding Action to address matters pertaining to excessive guns. And like your pastor, who will work to shore up his long-standing relationships with groups like the Depression Bipolar Support Alliance and the National Alliance for Mental Illness to ensure that resources other than guns are available to those who are hurting. Friends, those are just two of the many, many ways we here at WHCC can take a comprehensive approach to a complex problem. And as we respond to this most recent and heartbreaking challenge, my hope in closing is that we will make the cry of the psalmist our own and cry out to God, make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. For as the psalmist so wisely reminds us, our ultimate source of healing and hope lies not entirely in our efforts alone, but ultimately in the God who saves both me and we. May it be so. Amen.